You know, following Jesus doesn't happen by accident. We don't just fall out of bed and OGY, and we figure it out we're following Jesus today. Something that we have to do intentionally. In the last, I guess, 5 or 6 weeks, we've been talking about identifying characteristics that are demonstrated in the life of a person who's trying to follow Jesus, who wants to be like Jesus. And this morning, the focus that we're going to talk about for this day is a lifestyle of seeking God. So I ask the question, what does that look like? It's one of those things that I'm going to try to define, but the reality is there is no way that I can get my hands around what that looks like for each one of us individually in a very, very perfect picture. I can at best give you general ideas, suggestions. They're all true. Don't get me wrong. I'm not wasting my time. But the fact is, exactly how they play out, how they live out in each one of our lives is very different. So, hang with me and understand that this is not a futile or empty pursuit. The reason why it's hard to get our hands around is not because it's not true or it's not possible. It's because it's so individual, so unique for each one of us. So hang in there with me, and hopefully you like my picture here. I've had that for a long time. It fits really well. I want to begin with a passage, leave it there, that the Apostle Paul shared whenever he was in Athens, Greece. He had been invited to speak amongst all the intelligentsia in Athens who loved to sit around and talk about stuff. And one of the things they liked to talk about was, what's the life really all about? What's important in the world? And whenever Paul got invited to go speak to this group of folks, this is what he said. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So essentially, he's saying, you know, you and I, God chose for us to be in Savannah in 2018. That's His choice. Those people listening to Paul, it was God's choice that they be listening to Paul on that day. And the reason why He did that, he said, was that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him. Now, that doesn't sound like an exact science to me. Does it sound like an exact science to you? If we're groping, it's like I can't see. I can't perceive clearly. But I'm reaching, and I'm grabbing, and I'm trying. Though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him, we live and move and have our being. That's how we start out the day. So I want to frame our direction a little bit today with some words by one of those good preachers out there, okay, a guy named John Piper. Listen to what he said. The heavens are telling the glory of God, so we can see Him through that. He reveals Himself in His Word, so we can see Him through that. He shows Himself to us in the evidences of grace and other people, so we can see Him through that. The seeking, the conscious effort to get through the natural means. See that picture? It was a perfect illustration. Trying to get through the natural means to God Himself. To constantly set our minds toward God in all of our experience. To direct our minds and our hearts towards Him through the means of what He shares with us, His revelation. This is what seeking God means. We're seeing Him in what we see and behind what we see. In everything. So I want to share with you, since it's the only way I can really get a handle on it, I'm going to share with you 8 things that I want to talk about today. Okay? First of all, If we want to have a lifestyle of seeking God, the first thing we have to start with is desiring Him. Now, what I'm going to share with you today is a whole lot of Scripture. So I want you to understand, I'm letting the Bible speak for itself. Okay? We begin with 1 Chronicles 28:9. This is where God is dealing with Solomon, the son of David, whenever he makes that really good choice to desire that God would give him wisdom. It says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him." I could say the rest, but I want to focus on the positive today. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. Our desire for God is supposed to be something that infects and affects every fiber of who we are and encompasses everything that we do and every intention of our thoughts and hearts. God has promised that if we will do that, that we will find Him. But I want to give you a disclaimer from the beginning. If you're one of those folks that gets sidetracked on seeking what God can do for you instead of seeking God, you're going to be disappointed. Because He's not a cosmic vending machine. It's not to put into prayer, pull the little lever, and out comes what you want. He wants us to seek Him. Just like your heavenly Father wants you to seek Him, it's like your parents or somebody you love very much wants to be with you. It's the same idea. There's a desire for our kids to want to be around us and talk to us. And that's what God's like too. He has that desire. He wants us to want Him, not for what He does for us, but because He is our Father. That's it. So, we start with desiring Him. Now, we got another passage we can look at and see the same thing. In Psalm 42, verse 1 through 4, you've heard this. There's songs that follow this passage. "As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival." That's where I was. Doesn't feel that way right now. You and I, just like the illustration here, this metaphor of a deer being so thirsty that it's panting for water, that our soul thirsts for the living water that Jesus promised that woman at the well in the Gospel of John. Desiring Him, not what He could do for us. That's the beginning of seeking God. Having that kind of desire. Nothing else matters. Have you ever been that thirsty? Where you just have to get water and you don't care if it's lukewarm. You don't care if it's nice and chilled, you just got to have water. Because if you don't, you're going to pass out. That's the thing we're talking about. Desiring God. If I don't have Him, we can't allow anything to deter us. We don't have any time off if we desire Him, and that desire helps us to see our need for Him in all things at all times. Number two. Really simple. We've got to read what He said. If we are going to seek God, it just makes sense. Now listen, if somebody's written a letter to you that has instructions that are going to change your life or benefit your life, and you refuse to read that letter, does it make any sense? You know this person has got every good intention for you, and the truth is they know what's best for you, and they know how you need to live in order to get there or what you need to do in order to get there, but you refuse to read the letter. Just refuse. We've got to read what God has said. in Psalm 119, 2-4. Now, anytime you want to know about how important it is to listen to God's voice and see what He's written in the record of His revelation to you and me, just look at Psalm 119. It's all about how the Word directs us. Here it says, "How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained Your precepts that we should keep them diligently." And then later in that same chapter, because 119 is a huge chapter, verse 81, it says, "My soul languishes for Your salvation. I will wait for Your word." I will wait. What we have here is what God has told people like you and me. It's a record that's been proven true. Not just in people's lives, but in historical record too, which is something that most people in the culture just like to discount quickly. But the reality is, it can't be ignored, and it still speaks to you and me. Now, once we have got that foundation, and we are engaging this word, then we have a chance. Because we'll understand God's character, we'll understand the things that He wants us to know about this life and the life coming. We'll understand His ways and His voice. We come to know that if we will engage this word, this revelation that He's given to us. So we can't ignore it. Now, number three is that we have to start dealing with, our receiver. How about that? Let's do a radio metaphor. We've got to get rid of the noise in the receiver so that we can receive clearly. So we have some internal distractions that have to be dealt with. There are endless obstacles that we've got to get around in order to see God clearly, to seek Him clearly, so that we can be enjoying the light of His presence. We've got to get away from and flee anything that would be what we would call an activity that would dull us spiritually so we cannot perceive Him. That's on us. These things that come to us and are within us keep us from perceiving and understanding, and they block our way. So let's look at a couple of passages that have to do with internal, and then we'll move on to external. So let's look at the internal first. In 1 John 1, 6-10, it says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." So right here we see the first thing. Many of our distractions that are within us are caused by these internal spiritual issues. We can't get around them unless we are willing to face them. We've got to confess our sins. We've got to agree with God. If we're going to seek God, we've got to agree with God about us as well as about His character. But it begins in our receiving. It begins in us, inside us. We've got to allow God to clean us up. And that only begins when we confess and agree with Him about stuff that He knows is keeping us from understanding and seeking Him. Second thing, find this in 2 Corinthians 7, 8-10. He says, Paul says, "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did not regret it. For I see that that letter caused you sorrow, though only for a little while. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the word of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." So we've got confession, and then we have here Paul discussing the importance of conviction that comes and brings sorrow so that we will turn and repent. And only those two things beginning will allow us to have clear thinking, clear receiving when it comes to seeking God. We won't seek God if we don't have this relationship maintained where we are confessed and repented of. It just doesn't happen. Next, another internal condition. We look in Matthew, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look to the birds of the air that they do not sow, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon," remember Solomon we talked about a little while ago, "in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what we will wear for clothing? But the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We need to seek God. Here, Jesus is saying, it is so easy to get caught up in the incidentals. It is so easy to get caught up in the stuff that we think we need right now. And that's not to say that we don't face situations and needs that aren't genuine and real and sincere. But the secret is, if you seek Him, He'll take care of you. But don't seek the stuff, seek Him. It makes a difference. Because seeking the stuff, all the incidentals, is a distraction. Seeking Him is focused. All right, so let me move on to the external stuff. That's the internal stuff. Externally, Psalm 46:10. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and I will be exalted in the earth." If you're like me and you know people who are like you and like me, a lot of times we are just too busy to seek God. We say we're too busy to seek God. What we mean is we've chosen other things to get involved with and to get engaged in, which keeps us from having the time to seek God. Because those are more important and we know better than God does. Are we too busy or too occupied? And the fact also is we need to do more than just rest. We need to be still and know that He's God. That means He's in charge. That means He knows best. That means that I need to listen to Him. So I need to be still. That's how I seek, is to be still and listen. It's not just be still and do nothing. Or like me, probably too much, be still and watch the TV. We need to be still before God and listen and take in and meditate. Another dimension, another passage. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "No temptation's overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, He will also provide a way so that you can endure it." That way out. What are you and I supposed to do whenever those external temptations come? Are we supposed to say, "Here, come at me," or "You missed, try again"? No, it's more along the lines of flee as fast as you can. Go in the other direction. Run away. God will help you out. if you let them. And that is a way to seek God. That's removing an external distraction, removing ourselves from temptation. But there's also a positive side of that. We see this in Philippians. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Paul's talking to the Philippians. These are folks who have some things right. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now here's what he says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. So it's not just removing external things by fleeing or removing. It's not like going to the dentist all the time. Sometimes it's like you just need to make sure you're focused on the God things. Focus on the God things. The perfect stuff. The good stuff. If we will do that, then we will remove distractions, because if we're focused on the good stuff, the God stuff, then we will desire to seek God because we see how good they are. We begin to perceive and understand when we set our minds on God's excellence. So we get to number 5. Do what pleases Him. Whenever we do what pleases Him, it's like saying, God, I really do have a desire to seek You because I want to do the things that You lead me to do. Romans 12:1. We all know this passage real well if we spend any time in church. And that is, therefore I urge you, brothers, Paul said, and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices pleases Him. So whenever we come here on a Sunday, or we go and we gather any time, we need to remember that we're not just here to get something out. Okay, as much as I do want to say something and encourage you in some way to hear God and to listen to God, believe me, that's a great desire. I don't want us to just talk up here for 20 minutes and then press on. But the reality is, if we don't come to offer ourselves to Him, then we've missed the purpose. It's not about Him always giving us stuff. It's about us offering ourselves to Him. And that's what we do in worship. We say, here we are. We belong to You. Good news is, I'm alive. I got breath. What do you want me to do? That's what pleases Him. Another thing that pleases God, see in Hebrews, faith. Hebrews 11:6. Looked at it last week. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We see that message over and over again. Also, find out in 1 Timothy 2:1-4, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So basically, being intercessors and reconcilers pleases God. When we do those things, we desire to please Him, then we will find that we are actually seeking Him and His kingdom, because we're agreeing with Him in the things that He's trying to do right now in the world to have His purpose and His plan press on. We go back to the Gospels. Jesus, chapter 25 in Matthew. You remember that story, the parable He told about the talents, the servants? The master entrusted the servants. He went away. He gave them certain amounts of money. When he came back, he found out what they did with them. There were two of those servants who had done something with the amount of money that he had given to them and invested to them. And here is what he said when they did the right thing, when they made the right choice. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." So oddly enough, trusting God and risking what he's entrusted to you and me pleases him. When we do that, we show that we are seeking him, seeking his purpose, seeking his plan. Six, here's where we get a little ooey-gooey. I like this. Back to Psalm 119. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." Have you ever thought about that when you go look at the stars at night? When you do that, God is pouring forth speech. When you do that, you're getting his knowledge because you're realizing some things about God. It says, "They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth." Now, I could go on to Romans 1. I'm not going to go into Romans 1. We're going to skip that, John. What I do realize is this, and I've told you this a lot of times. For me, sometimes when I feel and that I understand God the best is whenever I am looking at a sky with lots of stars. Or I'm outside on a beautiful day like today and I'm watching the clouds. And I'm looking at everything that God made. And I understand that his fingerprints are all over everything. Because there's no way that I know that any human being could think up or create, or any lightning bolt could create the stuff that I'm looking at. Over however many millions of years you can come up with it. And I realize that in every part of what I do in the day, God's fingerprints are something I can look for. I can find out where his hands are. I can see what he's doing. I can see that it's only him and that he reveals something of himself in what I'm looking at. Some days, whenever I spend too much time inside a classroom or an office or my house, I realize I just need to get out. I need to see. I need to feel the sun. I need to feel the wind. I need to listen to the birds. I need to get irritated by the squirrels. And that those things remind me I need to seek God. And it's a part of seeking God. Because I get it. I understand it when I do that. I face creation. I sense its immensity. And I consider how intricate it all is. Seventh, got to choose to love other people. You know this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. And I think the truth is, when we do that, what we're doing, when we choose to love others as ourselves, we are choosing to love the image of God in those people. And that's a choice we have to make. And when we do that, we are choosing to seek God. And it challenges us. Because there's a lot of people out there who are just as broken as I am and just as messy as I am. And it takes a lot of choosing to love. But when we do, love your neighbor as yourself is that other side of that same coin with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, your mind, and your strength. Which brings me to number eight. And that is, if we're going to seek God, we need to understand that one of the things we're going to do is we're going to hear his voice in those that we love and trust. Now these are people who have a track record in our lives of knowing God, of caring for people, having best intentions. God speaks through those people to us. So in 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11, we hear Peter saying, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And each of you should use whatever gift you've got to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." And then he specifies, "If anyone speaks, that they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." I don't know about you, but a lot of times God has used people that I love and cared for to tell me things I needed to know, to help me sometimes remove obstacles in my life so I could seek God more intently, or sometimes to get me on the track so I knew where God was leading me. It would take me too much time to tell you all the story of how God's done that. And I would hope that also, if somebody were to ask you, you would have to say the same thing. That you have heard God's voice through other people. In fact, the reason why I hope you're here today is because you're going to hear from me or somebody else something that God is trying to nudge you about. Hopefully about seeking Him. But the truth is, you are here and you are in His presence. And the fact is, He could be speaking to you about something that I'm not talking about at all. That's okay, because listening to His voice, you are still seeking Him. So you are doing what I want you to do. Hearing His voice in those that you love and trust. So these things, if I were to say, here's how seeking God looks, I know that these are the things that are going on. I know that these things are biblical. Because I just went through 25 slides. And it was all Bible. It's what God said. I'm pretty confident in that. And I know that if we really want to seek God, we'll have that desire. We'll do the stuff like looking at the Word, listening to people that we love and care for. We'll get all that stuff out of the way that keeps us from seeking Him. And we'll love people. And when we do those things, we find that we are on the path. We are looking at the footprints of Jesus going before us every single day. Let's pray. Father, I want to seek You more. I want to know You more. Lord, I pray that You'd be speaking to us about what we need to hear and what we need to do so that we will have a passionate desire, that we'll have a path that demonstrates that we are seeking You and that we'll seek You in everything, in every person's voice, in every circumstance. Lord, every single thing that we will be looking for You and that we'll see You open up a whole new world beyond just that we see. Today, I encourage you in the next few moments, if you've got a card and there's something God's speaking to you about, I want you to write it on that card. We'll pray with you about that. If there's something that you need to let God remove or you need to submit to God so that He can reveal Himself and you can seek Him with your whole heart, put that down. We'll pray with you about that. The desire, though, today is that you go out of here ready to go, to seek Him. In fact, that right now, you are. You want to seek God, and you hadn't been doing that, or you're just kind of on the start, and you want to talk with somebody about seeking God more intently, put that on your card. Dusty, Dane, or I will follow up with you, or a life group leader will follow up with you. And right now, if you have something that God's putting on your heart, you need somebody to pray with you about that. Dusty and Audrey and Dane and Kathy and Regina and I will be up here for a few moments. And in that same time, you could bring your offerings. You could bring those cards, put them in the baskets. There's a basket in back and there's two up here in front. But you listen to God in this time. See what He tells you about seeking. All right, before we pray, we have a recognition we would like to make this morning. Oh, beautiful Vanna would take care of that. And that is, we want to acknowledge all that Gary does for us. Tirelessly leads us in worship. And we just want to say thank you to Gary. Lynn, come on. You know, come on, Lynn. Come on. Anything you want to say, Dust? Or we?
Yes, I do.
Gary, Lynn, we love y'all very much and thank the Lord for you. And just a blessing. I remember those first few Sundays that y'all came to be with us, and who would have thunk it back then, all the adventures we would have together. And here's the wonderful thing. God's got many, many more in store for us. Let's pray. Now, Lord Jesus, right now, as we have our hands upon this family that we love so much, I thank you for them. I thank you for the sacrifice, for how you have used them in our lives, week in and week out. The faithfulness, Lord, to trust you, the faithfulness to stick it out together, the perseverance, Lord, which is not a characteristic that's very popular in the church in America today. But God, it just shows how much this family loves you and loves your church and loves us, Lord, this body of believers. And so today, I pray, God, that they can feel the love, the joy that is in our hearts because of them. Lord, they bring us great joy. And I pray your blessing on them today. Lord, may they feel that and know that. And yes, Lord, may they feel validated today. In Jesus' name, amen.